How's everybody today?
You're looking good, and some of you have yogurt in your mouth, which I'm glad for. Continue to help yourself anytime during our learning time. We have a significant learning time every week at the branch. We want to know Jesus, and we want to make him known. We're a mission church, I like to say. We're just, you know, a church that's expressing, again, about Jesus in the community. And thank you for being part of our service today. Those of you that are returning, we're so grateful for you. And those of you that are here for the very first time, thanks for being part of our number this morning. We desire to be a church that makes Jesus known. We say to the growing number, increasing number of people in East Vancouver and Camas who are uninformed, underinformed, or simply misinformed about who Jesus is. And perhaps, you know, you're here among us and you feel like, you know, I feel like I'm underinformed. You'd be at a place where I was some 35 years ago when I felt my life was underinformed about Jesus. I wanted to know more about what was going to happen to me when I died. Those are good questions to ask and get answered and hopefully get the right answers because there's no second chances after we die. And so that's very important to get straight. And so we just believe that the right answers come from the Bible. And so we trust the Bible here at this church, and we go by the Bible. We listen to it. We try to understand it. We try to engage it and, you know, live it out in our lives as best we can. And thanks for being here to hear more from the Lord today, hear more from God through the Bible today. So to begin today, I'd just like to just offer a prayer up. Maybe if you'd like to agree with that, just hang where you are at and bow your head if you'd like, or keep your eyes open. Doesn't matter to me. Let's just go to God in prayer today. Oh God, we bow before you, knowing that you are a God who listens. You're a God who cares about our lives. You're a God who wants to see those you love, every human being that's ever been made. You want to see them called to the purposes upon which you've given life. Thank you for the lives we have. Thank you for the love of our life by you. Thank you that you care deeply and that you have this grand plan for us, not just here in the temporary life on this planet, but in the forever, eternal existence which you've planned and purposed for us. Thank you for what you've done to secure that, to assure that we can get there, to assure that we can know we have eternal life, even today, that when we die, we will live an eternal existence, an amazing place called heaven, a paradise, things that we can't even dream or imagine about right now. What an assured hope that we have through the testimony of the Bible. Thank you for it. Thank you for the opportunity we have to engage it today. Thank you for the life that you've given us to live that out as best we can under your rule as our Creator. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let me ask you to begin with today, have you ever had a health issue that you went online and Google searched about that issue to try to determine more about what it's about, information, what is this thing that's got me or that I'm dealing with right now? Anybody ever done that before? Let me have your hand up and look around. It's probably the majority of us have tried to, you know, you've tried to self-diagnose, maybe some of you have, right? And then you've ran off with a prognosis, haven't you? Go ahead and say yes. It's okay. There's a lot of resources, I guess that's what I want to say this morning. There's all kinds of resources that we have available to us today that heretofore, some of us can remember those days, back when, that maybe there wasn't as many resources. We had to go to the simple one family doctor, perhaps, that had all the resources that we could perhaps get, save some of our relatives or friends that would talk to us about those things, and share with us. So I went and I Google searched just the two words, health resources, to see what I could find if I needed help with something, and over 86 million results came up out there, just to give you an idea. We've been talking the last couple weeks, since Easter, about relationships, how to build them and how to fix them last week. And so I decided, well, how many resources are out there about relationships? So I Google searched, note this, Christian, got more specific than just any relationship, but Christian resources for relationships. just from the Christian point of view, and this would be just for couples as I could gather, over 42 million, they'll scroll up, over 42 million hits or sites that you could find, I guess, that would deal with Christian resources on relationships. Well, what about general relationships? Because that's really what we're trying to address here in this four-part series on four practices for building great relationships. What about relationships in general? Over 70 million different resources you could go out and find to help with general relationships in life. And so today I wanted to explore God's primary resource for our relationships. His primary resource, and I'm holding up the finger, just one finger, one resource, kind of for building, growing, getting more what I would call today relational intelligence. You ever heard that terminology before? It's kind of new terminology, relational intelligence. What is relational intelligence? Let's start there as we would look toward trying to uncover this resource for growing relational intelligence from God. What is relational intelligence? And so Steve Saccone writes this in his book. This is his definition for relational intelligence. Relational intelligence is the ability to learn, understand, and comprehend knowledge as it relates to interpersonal dynamics. The more relationally intelligent we become, note, it's my emphasis here, the more relationally intelligent we become, the more we will demonstrate love, respect, and trust in every relationship in our lives, which will inevitably relate to an increased or elevation in our influence with other people. Now, you've heard the terms interpersonal, maybe interpersonal intelligence or emotional intelligence, or just the word, you know, the IQ, our intelligent quotient is sometimes used. And so this terminology, relational intelligence, caught my eye, captured my imagination. I want to be emotionally intelligent. Don't you? If that seems to be something good to gather, because I've got these relational relations in my life, and I want to be as intelligent about relational intelligence as I can be. So the book by Steve Saccone, I think I've given you a picture of it on the screen. You can see that. Let me read just a couple excerpts from this book, because it's kind of fascinating. This is from a Christian perspective. This is a Christian resource. Here's what he says. He says this, relationships are the human economy. He says it this way. Relationships define what it means to be human, which makes them both complicated and fragile. God didn't create human beings because he somehow needed us. Rather, he created human beings as relational because he exists as a relational being. Now, just pause there. We were made in God's image. Maybe one of the aspects of that image might be a relational structure, or way he puts it here, this relational economy or plan for our existence. What matters most to God, he goes on to say, is relationships. And that's why they are the foundation of the human economy. Let that kind of crock pot simmer for a while. I thought it was interesting terminology. Relationships are the human economy. We're a relational being made in the image like God, who is a relational being, Father, Son, Spirit, a triune being. Well, let me give you one more, because this guy's kind of fascinating to read. Relationships, get this now, are the virus of influence. Oh my. When it comes to relational intelligence, he says, we as human beings carry the virus of influence, which is called relationship. As carriers of the virus, we transmit our influence through our human-to-human interactions, for better or for worse. The virus of influence encompasses many things, but it is most potent Its most potent effect is discovered in the spiritual realm. Without question, our own spiritual health will spread to those who choose to follow us. Take that word, parents, because your kids are looking at you and they kind of have to follow you, at least for a season. And your greatest influence on them, according to the human economy and the virus here of influence, is they look up to you. They see you as a leader. You are the natural influential person or relationship in their lives. Pretty powerful. Let's spread this virus a little bit this morning as we can relate to each other. I want us to do a little table talk here, and I want us to approach a question. Here's the problem today. At least a problem in the mix of a variety of problems that we can face in relationships that we have to deal with relational intelligence we're talking about today. Social networking and the media and technology, let's face it, have changed some of the ways we interact with one another. So I've got this question for you, and it'll be on the screen, for you to discuss a bit around your tables, and I'd love to get some responses. They're not, not right or wrong, it's just our experiences in this, really. I'm kind of, a little bit of experiential feedback. What do you think the positive and negative effects of social media and technology have been when it comes to how we relate to one another? Can you take a couple minutes, look each other in the eyes around the table if no one has a name tag? Tell them to get a name tag on and, get their name down, and then talk a little bit here for a couple minutes about this, okay? Answer this question at your tables. You're all alone, sorry. You can jump over here and come back if you'd like to, if you'd want to. Yeah. How you guys doing? How's he doing? Anything? Okay, everybody. All right, all eyes back up here, and let me just take some responses. What are some better or worse effects, positive or negative effects of the technology of social media on relationships today? Anybody just want to throw out a couple words for me, please? Long-distance family. That's for good in some ways, right? Yeah. That can be a good thing that the technology can allow for us. What else? Lack of privacy, that could be bad. Okay, what else? Okay, you can't see their face, which... Oh, Oh, it's a disruption to face-to-face. Okay. Double negative there. Others. There's a connection to people to influence them, to connect with them that you can use for good purposes. Very good. Yep. Better or worse, right? I mean, let's face it. This is a way of communication today, a way of relational intelligence that's being used, a resource that's being used for relating. Others?
Can't get the kids out of the house.
Can't get the kids out of the house. Okay. All right. Okay, just, what was that again? Two. A necessary evil. Okay, there's some evil to that that can be used as well. Okay, it can be used for better or for worse. It's just good to recognize that in our day and age, our life today, with regard to relationships. Now, we're in Ephesians, and I'm going to open my Bible and encourage you to, if you don't have a Bible, we have some Bibles at the table, usually one or two there. If you don't have a Bible and would like to have a Bible, that one of those Bibles can be yours. You can just take it, put your name in it, it's yours. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bible, I'll have most of the text on the screen. If you'd like to follow along in your Bible, you can pick up one of those Bibles. We're on page 816 in those Bibles. And in the context, I go back into chapter 4 in verse 17, and it says this, "And so I say, affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk." This idea of living like others, when we come to follow Jesus, when we know Him by experiential knowledge, as we're starting to follow Him and learn His ways, and we start to walk with Him, we are actually living the way God would want us to. We're trying to do that. We don't do it perfectly. No one does. But the idea is that we do. We're walking not any longer, it says in the Bible here in chapter 4 and verse 17, in the futility of walking, or in the mind of those kinds of lives. We're not walking any longer in the futility of that. Last week we looked at this verse, the very last verse of chapter 4. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you. And so the writer here, who's a church planter, his name's Paul the Apostle. He wrote a big section of the New Testament. He's trying to say, don't do this. Be careful about this. That's bad. That's for worse. But do this over here. That's for good. This is better. That's basically what he's saying through here. And a lot of this will have to do with how we relate. A lot of this is, you know, just basic trying to get relational intelligence so that we can be better relators. We can do this thing of relationships, which is so important to God. It's a primary thing to God that we have a relationship with Him and a relationship with people that's good, that's better, that serves us well and serves everyone well. And so he's saying, don't do this, but do this. Now we're getting to the passage today. Ephesians chapter 1 says, be imitators of God, chapter 5 and verse 1, be imitators of God as beloved children, walk in love, or live in love, just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And so he says, this is good, do this, imitate God in how he loved us through Jesus Christ. And in verse 6 it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And then down here in verse 15, this will be on the screen. Verse 17 will start on the screen, but verse 15 and 16 come, but just before it, listen to the words, and then follow it, verse 17. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery or dissipation. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I want us to just kind of notice a progression. He's through here saying, don't do this, or not this, but do this. Not this, but do this. Don't be deceived, he said. Don't be deceived up in verse 6. And then he says in verse 15, don't live as unwise, but rather live as wise. And then he says, don't be foolish
in verse 17 on the screen, but understand what the Lord's will is. And then he says, don't get drunk on wine, but, or instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, I want us to take and look at a parallel passage just for a moment. Parallel passage over in what's called Colossians, the book of Colossians. The book of Ephesians generally is accepted as written to the church at Ephesus and probably had some wider outreach than that. But this other book, the book of Colossians, was written to the church that met at Colossae, okay, a city, a town. And he says these words, and again, I say these are parallel. Paul from the prison in Rome, where he was held, probably wrote these two letters within the same week, if not the same day. Because you can just go along in the letters and see some very similar language, very similar thought that he wants to get across. So let's just parallel that with this passage in Ephesians that we just looked at. Look at it closely. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And then this verse comes up. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, I've given emphasis. Whenever there's an underline and an italic in addition to the rest of the Bible that I'm sharing, the emphasis on it is what I'm placing, okay? I want you to notice something. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. And then it goes on just like the other passage did with talking about music, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, just like the other did. But the other said, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. This one says, let the word or the message of Christ dwell in you richly. I'm going to put them together now on the screen. Notice them together. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Focus on those three aspects of this. These, friends, I would say, our primary resources upon which we grow relational intelligence. These provide specific practices, if you notice, understanding what the Lord's will is, being filled with the Spirit. These are practices that we can do to take advantage of the greatest resource, I believe, on the planet for relational intelligence, which has its greatest effect in the spiritual realm. Because the spiritual realm goes beyond this temporary one. Spiritual realm goes on into an eternity. And so it's critical in relationships, intelligence, to grasp that. And then he says, be filled with the Spirit. We can do that. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. So some of our responsibility is to take advantage of the resource. Just like we would Google resources to figure out how to fix a marriage or fix a relationship at work or to do something better, you know, to grow in relationships, to, you know, get online and subscribe to some relationship building guru. We can do that too. And I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying, let's not miss this big one, this primary one that God gives us. This is a huge resource that God gives us. We have a choice. God, you know, we have a choice in what we can pick out here. And we can end up better or worse by the choices we make in life. And so the choices that the writer here in the Bible's given us is don't be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit, right? And then let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. We want to look at that a little more closely here. But let's first look at the picture that we get of a how relationship can look, how we can become relationally intelligent. how we could be so relationally intelligent that it'll be tremendous blessing, not just to our own selves and how we live in amongst people, but a blessing to other people. It will affect or influence other people for the better. Okay, for the better. So in the back side of your handout, if you will, you can look in the back side of that, and you can do some fill-ins if you'd like. They'll be on the screen. These are the marks of being filled with the Spirit, and I want to focus on that phrase particularly, because that's one, I think, for some that would say, wow, that's kind of out of this world phrase, be filled with the Spirit. What's that all about? Let's kind of get some definition to that a bit here this morning for ourselves, because it's something that God is calling us to do. And the results of this will affect relationships. It'll raise our relational intelligence. And so these are outcomes or results that I believe are coming out of when he says this, be filled with the Spirit. And you can see that on the front side of that form in Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, 15 through 21, we're going to pick out some of what's in those verses. The first one, first mark that follows directly upon being filled with the Spirit is what I would term joy. It's a very musical verse, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. See, that is joyful. When you come and you sing and you're filled with joy. As a joyful person, you probably jump into the shower and you sing. You know, you try to just whistle and sing around. It usually is an indicator that says there's some joy in you. And so as we're filled with God's Spirit, or we're filled with the spirits from strong drink, we probably are going to get a little bit more joyful in some ways. There's some kind of a connection there, and that's why the writer puts it together. There's some resulting results of when we become intoxicated. And when we become intoxicated with the Spirit of God, there's some results too. And what we'll do is we'll worship and we'll praise and we'll sing. And it's a very good thing. That's an indication or a mark of being filled with the Spirit. Look at the next verse, verse 20, where it says, always giving thanks to God the Father in everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to Colossians, there's a great amount of gratitude in there. This word, the G, is for gratitude. And it seems to be a perpetual. And in everything, there's a gratitude of a person that's filled with the Spirit. They're always giving thanks to God and Father for everything. You know, even stuff that, you know, why would you give thanks in that? Well, we give thanks for everything. And one that's filled with God's Spirit has these marks, has these outcomes or results in their lives. Can you imagine how that can affect relationships? I'd like to be around somebody all the time filled up with joy. How'd you like to be around somebody that's all the time giving gratitude? They're just saying thanks to you all the time. Whoa! We call that person relationally intelligent that does that. They got something about them that's relationally strong. They're always joyful. They always got gratitude. They're thankful people. They're appreciative of people in their lives. They're probably a person that could be very filled with God's Holy Spirit. Look at number three. I'm calling this one humble love. Fill that in. Humble love. This idea of submitting. And if you look at the way this is constructed in the language originally, it says be filled with the Spirit, and then there are five participles. And they're all an ing word, really. Although in translated into English, sometimes they don't get it that way. But it's speaking, singing, making music, giving thanks, and submitting. And this submitting feature is huge. After this word comes a whole section of Scripture that we're going to talk about next week on Mother's Day. This idea of submitting. This idea of ranking ourselves appropriately. I like to use the terminology, idea of humble love. We're humbling ourselves and we're loving another person. Kind of an idea of submission. Very good. When a person does that in your life, you know people who do that to you. You know people you see do that. Friends, they are relationally intelligent the way I want to be relationally intelligent. If somebody has joy, if they have gratitude, if they have this ability to humbly love other people, try to be like them. They're very relationally intelligent. And guess the resource it's coming from? The Spirit. They're filled with the Spirit of God. They're filled with the message of Jesus Christ richly. They're filled up with the very knowledge of God. And it allows them to have these marks or outcomes, results that affect other people. Wow. A fourth one I'm going to throw in, it's not in this passage, is boldness. Boldness. They got courage to live life. They got courage to live life on fire for God. They got courage to defend God. And there's a passage back in chapter 4. I'm not going to go into it here, but you can go look at that. Where the disciples needed courage and they prayed to God, oh, give us courage because we're being threatened. Persecution's coming on us. And it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Yeah. They went to the right resource. And they were filled up and were able to have this and be able to relate to people well. I'm glad they did, because some of that boldness probably carried through and there was a progression and a perpetuation of the Word of God infecting people and people turning to God down even to this day, even to our lives perhaps. So I want to ask the big question. We got to take away this today, because this is what's important to do. Since we know the resources there, we know that, wow, I want to be that picture of a person. I want that. And I'm going to go to this resource, but how can I be filled with the Spirit? Let's ask and answer that quickly this morning here. How can I be filled with the Spirit? Well, number one, you can see that on your sheet there. We'll just go through three ways we're filled with the Spirit, according to the Bible, is when we were converted to Christ. When we turned our life over to Christ, we crossed that line of faith, when we trusted in Jesus, we said, I believe that He is the very Son of God and that He was sent to be my substitute, sin sacrifice, or offering to God to take care of my sin, my penalty. I trust that Jesus did that on that cross some 2,000 years ago. I trust in that. That's taking Him by faith. And then God calls us, the instruction that He gives immediately upon understanding that is to repent, which simply means to turn around and go the direction of God. As we do that, as we learn about God, we say, oh boy, I've been doing this. I shouldn't do this anymore. And so I repent. As I learn, I change. I change my direction and go toward God. It's as simple as that. We're followers, we say, as those who have trusted in Christ to be saved from our own sin. And then the Bible tells us to be baptized. Baptism is a dipping under water. And it was something that was very common in the day of the Bible. Of course, still common today as it has been a teaching of Christianity. And so it was very common in that people who, even in pagan religions at the time, religions that were not Christian, they would follow those religions often through a washing ceremony. Why they go dipping underwater? It was simply a ceremony. It wasn't about taking dirt off their bodies. It was about getting themselves clean and then the symbolism of I'm clean on the inside as I go through this washing. Just kind of marked them in their new start in the religion. Well, John the Baptist preached baptism, but it wasn't the same baptism Jesus preached. He preached it to prepare yourselves for the coming of Jesus. And so people were prepared and they were starting to follow this now contemporary prophet that was speaking forth about the kingdom of God coming and the very king of that God was sending, Jesus, to fulfill the Davidic king from way back when. And so this was the ushering in of the new kingdom. So people were baptized. And so Jesus said, go and make disciples as followers of all people, baptizing them. And here's in the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're baptized in that authority now. And it would later be shown that this baptism was actually a picture of a death, burial, and a resurrection. And that's uniquely Christian. Because baptism is tied to the cross of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, that's a spiritual rebirth. Ultimately to a literal resurrection of the body, our physical bodies, from the grave one day. And so that's what it, you know, so this is what we do. When we do that, look what the Bible says. Look what the Scripture says. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and it says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the new covenant with or agreement with God, every single soul receives the indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit. Where tofore in the old covenant times, only the prophets, priests, and kings did. And now, in the new covenant times, every single soul does. And we're baptized in the name of the Spirit, as well as the name of the Father and the Son. And so, to be assured you have a filling of the Holy Spirit, the actual indwelling presence of God in you, you're to be baptized if you have trusted in Christ and repented of sin. Well, number two, let's look at a second way in which we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're to drink. Drink is a filling. We're to drink lots of the Spirit. All right, not the spirits. I didn't say drink the spirits, all right? I said drink lots of the Spirit. Drink a very little of the spirits, okay, you guys? But lots of the Holy Spirit, right? That's what it says here. We're to drink lots of the Spirit. Look what the Bible says. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. We're all given the one Spirit to drink. Isn't that cool? So we drink lots of the Spirit. How do we do that? Come on, this is still out there, and this is hard to, you know, get more concrete for me. Okay. By setting our minds on the Spirit. Really, by setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. Check this verse out. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds, that's devotion to, seek and pursue the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit are devoted to, seek and pursue, we would say, the things of the Spirit. And this is where we can see and understand better that what it really can constitute is we are learning and following, engaging the very message of Jesus Christ to the full. We're trying to have that message in us richly. And that we're trying to understand what the Lord's will is, whatever that might mean. You know, for me, I wanted to understand the Lord's will back 35 years ago or so when I came to Christ in the fuller sense of the word. And the church I was attending at the time was, well, it was 3 squares a week we were eating, a week though. And I needed 3 squares a day of spiritual nourishment. I needed more of the Bible. Give me the fire hose effect. Well, you got to go to Bible college for that. Okay, I went to Bible college so that I could learn the will of God for my life. I wanted to understand the will of God. Now, I kind of understand better. I was seeking the things of the Spirit, right? So when you go after the Bible in your morning devotions or your evening devotions or your late night or middle night devotions, whatever you do, you're drinking the Spirit of God. You're drinking in the Spirit. You're being filled with the Spirit when you take in the Word of God. You know, and it doesn't come overnight. I want a better filling of the Spirit. So, you know, go back to the joy and the gratitude, you know, and the humble love. And those are challenging things to get my life pictured like that. And the boldness, you know, that I, you know, should very much have as a preacher, right? You know, but there's a scripture that haunts me in Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Man, that's one I go over and over again. Okay, God, I need a drink of that. Spirit, help me. I need a drink of that. I need a drink of that. Because I turn around and complain. And I turn around and I just got to keep doing it. What is it in your life you need to drink more of the Spirit? What? Memorize that verse. Get it down and keep saying it over and over again. And I hope one day I can be more grateful, less grumbler. And sometimes in my life. But be filled with the Spirit. Oh my, what a resource you've given us, oh God. To have that message of Christ dwell in among us richly. Now when I think of rich, I think of excess. I think of more than we need. Right? Extra. So, am I getting overflow of the Bible? Am I getting overflow? Am I getting you know, intoxicated, right, with the Spirit of God by taking in Him as much as I can. When you talk about that, that balance that's so important and necessary as we live life. You know, they're going to do this book tonight. They're starting on this book, The Young Adults. Don't waste your life. Oh boy, we talked about that a little bit last week, this idea of having balance, because there's so much good we can do in our lives, but we've got to keep a balance with making sure that we're drinking and nourishing ourselves on the resource of God and His Spirit and His Word and His will that gets into us, that we might live it out the best we can to our potential, which I believe God wants for us. Well, let's just take the last one quickly. Pray for the working of the Spirit in you. If then, though you are evil, this is Jesus speaking, know how to give good gifts to your children, and we all do that, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit, look at that, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Wow, we can actually ask for the working of God's Spirit in our lives, ask for what I would say His power to be at work in our lives. In fact, the apostle did this in this very letter. As I go back and read in chapter 3, just a couple of verses where he says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, now he's praying here, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. The Apostle Paul is praying for others, this people at this church, to be empowered, to have this working. He's praying for the resource to come in and bear fruit, to work in the people, that the resource of God Himself, His Spirit, would supply a power. Wow. And out of that comes relational intelligence, friends. We become people that can relate to anybody as we would as we could understand God. We become more like God. We become more Christ-like, the Bible says. And so in this series on relationships, friends, I saw, you know, my sense was God was trying to say that in these passages here. And as we go into next week, where He goes into some specific relationships and the honor, the submission, or that humble love that's at work in all our relationships in life, it's rooted back here in this resource. The will of God, the Word of God, the message of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, all in a package, all one. Okay, friends, I'm just going to show you a diagram or a chart. This is called the time management. I think they call it the time management matrix by Stephen Covey. Here's a struggle I think that we have in life, because our lives are full. We got so much to do, don't we? How many of you guys got a full day planned today? How many of you got a full week planned? How many of you just, man, give me an extra 24 hours at least? Yep. So this is the hard part is the urgent stuff, which is the left-hand column, we might say, the firefighting and the distraction. Those are urgent and important. I have to do it. They're crisis times. There's pressing problems. They're deadline-driven. They take first priority. That's quadrant one, upper left. And then if you go down, you go, these are not important, but they seem urgent. Interruptions, calls. I got to check my Facebook again. Those are really distractions. They're not urgent. They're not even, most of the time, important. Right? We think they're urgent. They're calling on us, but they're not important. Then look at quadrant four, lower right-hand corner. Time wasters, trivia, busy works, you know, stupid stuff sometimes we just do, and not that we have to do stuff like that sometimes, because you got to kind of have good balance, but time wasters. Here's the struggle, is the quadrant number two, the upper right hand. This is the important stuff, but not urgent. So it's not crying out to us, it's not shouting out to us, but it's very, very, very important. Friends, that's the quadrant of relationship building, of growing relational intelligence, of the stuff that'll matter down the road a whole lot, but we've got to put in the time and energy right now. And it's time that we will use that will bring high development later. This is training time. This is time, I would say, in my life that I have to spend just reading the Bible, apart from doing the work of sermon prep or something. Just being with God. Just trying to be filled with the Spirit of God day by day. I can push that aside pretty fast, but that's so important to all of us. Right? Okay, friends, we're going to transition to our connection card right now and just invite you all to make sure you've completed this, and we're going to have our communion time, and the band's going to come up, and we're going to worship through this communion time. And everybody is welcome to communion in this church. Obviously, it's for those especially that are dedicated to following Christ, because we're to remember during communion time. And I'd like you to just consider communion this morning as a resource activity that God gives us. Do this in remembrance of me. He's given it to us as a resource to use, to engage in, to observe, that we might remember the relationship that was established between us and God through the very death of Jesus Christ. And so, invite you to partake and worship God during this time. Invite you to take the card and consider, is there something that you'd like to communicate this morning? To me, a prayer request, a step you'd like to take. There's some number of check mark boxes you can take advantage of if you'd like to. Oh God, would you continue to work your will in our lives? Help us to open our lives more and more to the filling of your Spirit. God, thank you for the Word, this plentiful copies of the Bible, your Word that we have, the message of Jesus Christ, the very will of and purposes that you have for our lives contained in the very words of the Bible. Thank you, God, for the text here this morning that helps us to see where this ability to relate so well to people in all aspects of our life comes from. And as a primary resource, oh God, you, we thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.